Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I hope it's food that's really good for you. I hope it leads you in the right direction. I like hearing from you. I enjoy those comments that you send me. I'm blessed by them. And I want to, if there's anything you want to ask me, please just email me, and somebody on the staff will get it to me. So we take a look now at the readings for the fifth Sunday of Lent. It's year C. And the first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 to 21. Thus says the Lord, who opens a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who leads out chariots and horsemen, a powerful army, till they lie prostrate, never to rise, snuffed out and quenched like a wick. Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago, consider not. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In the desert I make a way, in the wasteland rivers. Wild beasts honor me, jackals and ostriches, for I put water in the desert and rivers in the wasteland for my chosen people to drink, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might announce my praise. We are part of those people. We are part of those people. And the Lord wants to care for us. The Lord wants to, even today, in this century, we're long, long years away from when this Bible was written. But the premises of this, all of it, stays true for today as well. God loves us. God's word is, it will not die out. It's living. It's active. I've said that to you, and I will keep saying that to you because I want you to get that message that it will touch you and it will change you. And now we take a look at the Psalm 126, verses 1 to 2, then 2 to 3, then 4 to 5, and 6. I think we got the first 6, but that's how it's written out for me. Psalm 126, the very beginnings. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with rejoicing. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. So restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those that sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. Do you come to the Lord daily and ask God for your needs? Some he won't give you because they are not in his plan for you. Trust him, but some things he will answer. Or we're asking for something that we shouldn't. Please, brothers and sisters, the Lord is near. I'm not saying that you're going to hear his voice, but there are all kinds of ways the Lord speaks to us. I remember praying one time a lot for an answer, and there was nothing, absolutely nothing. And so one night I sat down, and I picked up the Bible, and I just opened it at random. And there was the answer. God is with us. He doesn't do that every time, but every once in a while he reminds me, ahem, I'm here, I'm with you. I don't hear him coughing. That's me. But brothers and sisters, God does love us, or he'll speak to us through another person, or for something we've seen on the radio that's holy and good. He will speak in many ways to us. Always keep your ears open to that. And now we look to the second reading from Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 14. Brothers and sisters, I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having any righteousness of my own based on the law. I've made mistakes, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, depending on faith to know him and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. It is not that I have already taken hold of it or have already attained perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I, for my part, do not consider myself to have taken possession. Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. And then we take a look now at the gospel. This is from John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area. And all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle of this crowd. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" And they said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. Can you imagine that, in that position? But Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one. Brothers and sisters, in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." And then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin any more." Can you imagine what that would have meant for that woman? Freedom from her sin? We're all tempted, brothers and sisters. We all have desires. We know with those we can say yes to and those we can't. But sometimes Sometimes even when we know we shouldn't, we take advantage of some situation to do something that we know is wrong. And brothers and sisters, whatever it might be, God does see. And what God is saying, I am right here. I will forgive. I will forgive anything you have done that is bad. When you go to confession, I forgive you. Brothers and sisters, I remember when I was just a teenager, I thought I'd done something that wasn't good, and I thought I could go to hell. It really wasn't that bad, but I thought, that's what I thought at that point. I thought I could go to hell. And I turned to the Lord, and I said, Lord, would you please forgive me? And I didn't hear any audible words. I'm not that good. But I knew that the Lord had forgiven me. And I went right away to the confessional as soon as I could. And I was joyous. God had forgiven me. And he forgave me in a sense again in the sacrament. Brothers and sisters, God is a forgiving God. We can be embarrassed. We can be ashamed. We can try to forget it, whatever the case may be. But if we have done something wrong, what you're losing in a certain sense, he never forgets you, but you are losing in a sense his presence in your life. Don't do that. Don't do that. Please. Come to him. Tell him you'll go to confession. Go to confession and you are healed. He forgives. That's how our God is. He loves you. You know, we think of God as being in some totally other world in which, in a certain sense, he is. But he knows us. He created us. He knows us. He loves us. He sees when we fail, when we fall, and make mistakes. He will never withhold his forgiveness if you go to confession and confess your sin. He will never hold on to that because he loves you. But he needs you to say, please forgive me, Lord, I'm sorry. Just go to the confessional and say that. Tell the priest what you did. And it is God in that priest, through that priest, who brings you forgiveness. And it's not remembered anymore. Please, brothers and sisters, let this Easter be a joyful Easter where we truly, truly can glorify God for all that he has done for us. He's taken every kind of torture and suffering that we could ever imagine. All of us would be dead long before Christ died. He died in great pain and agony for us. Brothers and sisters, love him with your whole heart. Amen.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.